Father, we thank you so much for the Bible that we have in our hands. Without the Word, without the Scripture, it will be very difficult for us to remember you and to worship you. So we praise you for these wonderful messages from you in the Scriptures. Thank you so much for revealing yourself in the Scriptures through the Word. The Lord, we want your Holy Spirit every time when we open the Bible and read to illuminate, to find out the truth from the Word. So Lord, be with us as we read this wonderful passage. Help us to understand your teachings and fill our hearts with your Spirit. Let's read this wonderful passage and bring the message to your people, Lord. Bless my lips and use me as your instrument so that all the people and I, we will only worship you. We will only preach Christ in this wonderful moment. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the book of Acts chapter 2. And we are following children's worship services schedule. And I believe next week is also Acts chapter 2. So we will read from chapter 2, verse 1 to 21. That is about up to Prophet Joel said. And then the next one is 22, the rest of them. There will be, if Lord's will, there will be the next week passage. This is the word of God. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came the heaven and a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided the tongues as a fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem the Jews, the devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of the Libya belonging to Cyrene and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, and say to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with the new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was ordered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall be prophesied, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. This is the word of God. We're thinking of the disciples when Jesus was gone again. They thought they lost Jesus Christ when Jesus died, but Jesus rose again, and he was with them. But all of a sudden, he's gone. So we actually celebrated Ascension 3 weeks ago. And thinking about the disciples when they lost their master, their Lord Jesus Christ again, the disciples were frustrated again for watching the departure of Jesus Christ. They couldn't understand, and surely they knew about the story of Enoch and Elijah from the Old Testament. They were taken to the heaven without seeing death. It's an amazing story from the Bible, but Jesus' case was different in many ways. He rose again from the death, and which was the result of all our sins, but he broke all sins. And Jesus completely conquered the power of the death. And even the disciples didn't want to lose him again, their Lord again. They surely wanted to build the kingdom of God right now, right here with their risen Christ. That's what they said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. That's kind of their hearts. I want to do with my Lord. The risen Lord was the power of God and the hope of their future. So I'm not going to lose him again. So when they saw that Jesus was taken up to heaven, surely they were frustrated and maybe speechless. They didn't know what to do. In Acts chapter 1 and 9 says, as they were looking on, while they were gazing into heaven, that means intensively looking into heaven, then something happened. Their eyes were completely focused to the exalted Lord and thinking that, what are you going to do without you, Lord? And then all of a sudden, the two angels appeared in front of them, and then they gave them gentle rebuke. The disciples heard angels' rebuke, and they returned to Jerusalem with only one purpose, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises. Even Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 4 and 29, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. So Jesus was actually talking about that. So disciples remembered what Jesus said. So they were eagerly waiting for promise of Jesus Christ. And even Luke chapter 24 and 29 continues reading, but stay in the city. Stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. Now, the coming of the Holy Spirit was not a new thing to them, not a brand new concept for the disciples. Looking into the Old Testament, the prophets and kings and leaders of Israel were always clothed with the power of God, the power from heaven on high. God sent his Spirit when he called and ordained his servants. And even Luke and other gospel writers recorded the work of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of John the Baptist. So before coming of Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ, they heard about the work of the Holy Spirit. Even his birth, the birth of Jesus Christ, even the baptism of Jesus Christ. So they knew about the work of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus promised and assured them he will surely send the Holy Spirit and his Spirit, the disciples must have believed that the Holy Spirit is coming soon. And then after he is coming, many greater things, great things will happen again with the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of an exciting moment. They witnesses all the miracles, all the happenings, and what Jesus has done. So they were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, kind of exciting moment. Therefore, as Jesus recommended, they didn't go anywhere, but gathered together. That is something that we modern Christians have to learn. We don't go anywhere. We just gather together no matter what. Devoted themselves over prayer. That's what they did. Not only the disciples, but the women and even other brothers and sisters in the Lord, they got together and prayed and waiting for the coming of the Jesus Christ. That is Acts 2. Acts 2 begins with the day of Pentecost. And the verse 1 said, when the day of Pentecost arrived, finally. The better way we understand this phrase will be when the day of Pentecost was to be fulfilled. Now, there is a reason for Luke, the author of the Acts, used the word fulfilled in this first one. Here, Luke indicates that this is not just time, but God's time. The time has arrived. When people are reading Book of Acts, they are waiting for the time. This is time. Then Luke is saying, the time has arrived. The time that Jesus has promised is fulfilled right now. It is the time of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of Jesus' promises wasn't just a kind of normal day, a regular day, but it's a special day. It had to be the most significant day for the disciples. It must be the most significant day for all of us as well. And interestingly, there was also the day of Pentecost. And following Jewish tradition, let's stop here and think about three annual Jewish harvest festivals. I'm not going to talk in all the details, but I'm going to talk in a couple of things. For the Jews, so they celebrated actually three harvest festivals from the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are three important Jewish annual harvest festivals written in Exodus in chapter 34, number 28, Leviticus 23, and Deuteronomy 16. You will see them. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'll talk about that pretty soon later. And the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of the Assembly, we say booths. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we know that day as Passover. That is related to the Pentecost. They celebrated this day to remember the day of God's salvation from the Egyptians. This is really important day. Celebrating, not forgetting God's amazing grace happening in their lives. The Passover reminds them of God's grace and sacrifice. Even Passover reminds you and me of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, the Passover Lamb, Revelation chapter 5 and 6. Even Hebrews 9:12 says, He, Jesus, entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, by the means of His own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. That is Passover. And another thing that we have to remember is the Feast of Weeks, that is Pentecost. Known as Pentecost, which means the 50s in original language, or Feast of Harvest here. It was the middle of the three annual Jewish harvest festivals. Now, in the New Testament time, it happened 7 weeks, which means 50 days after Passover. So they counted the days. So people celebrated this day for the completion of the grain harvest. After leaving Egypt, they gathered, people all gathered, worked hard, and they gathered their grains. So they're celebrating this time. So Pentecost was a celebrating time. It was celebrated with the sacrifices and the feasting. It was celebrated to recognize, to give thanks to God what they have, what God has given to them. And give thanks to God for His fulfillments and faithfulness in the cycle of the seasons. It reminds us of what we have. It's not only our work, but it's God's blessing. Some Jewish traditions recorded the day of Pentecost was God's renewal of covenant. So they celebrated Pentecost. So the day of Pentecost was not just a normal day for everyone, not a normal day for even disciples, but it was a very special day. It was a day of God's renewal of the covenant of the years. So Luke clearly indicates here in our text that one of the greatest things is about to happen. This is the day of Pentecost. And Luke also says they, which means the disciples. So since they knew that something will happen, they were all together in one place. That's what they did. They were praying. They were waiting for the promise of Jesus Christ. and his power from on high. I was reading my sermon manuscript and then studying a little bit about it this one, and then I thought, modern Christianity and modern Christians, we don't wait. I think our culture is making us go fast and don't wait. We are the people waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ again. We are the people waiting for God's promises. So what the disciples did, they were waiting for the promise of Jesus Christ, the power from on high. Now, the coming of the Spirit was very interesting. It was a sudden and a strange and unique and even very powerful in many ways. And the verse 2 said, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. If we read this just passage, we're just confused. And verse 3 said, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and then rested on each one of them. Even verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, although the Luke briefly describes the scene, what's happening of the coming of the Holy Spirit here, now, watching all this happening and sound like a mighty rushing wind and fire, watching all these powerful things happening together, kind of scary thing. Thinking about this, sound like a rushing wind coming right now in our sanctuary and fire and all people speaking different languages. It's kind of really scary moment. Watching all these powerful things and happening together will make our hearts trembling before the Lord. So we can say that the Holy Spirit didn't just come quietly. The Bible even says that Jesus Christ will come and the world will know because it will be really loud. A trumpet sound will hear. The Holy Spirit didn't just come quietly. He came with power and glory. And then verse 2 tells the Holy Spirit comes with a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Now, human words cannot fully describe the meaning of a sound like a mighty rushing wind. We cannot describe the greatness of this wonderful scene. The Holy Spirit came with a mighty sound, a sound of violent wind. Excuse me. The sound filled with entire room with where 120 people gathered together for praying and waiting for Jesus Christ. Notice that Luke didn't say that it was the real wind, but it was like a sound alike. In the Bible, the word wind is described as a sign of God's presence. That is a key that we understand this first. So that the disciples heard in the room was not just wind, but it is the presence of God among them. The Spirit of Jesus Christ came to them with indescribable power. This awesome, great power and awesome presence of the Spirit was there with them, with the disciples. So Luke describes a sound like mighty rushing wind. And the Holy Spirit even came as a fire in verse 3. We know that fire is also one of the symbols from the Bible. It's also God's presence in the Old Testament, the famous one. Exodus chapter 3 and 2. The Lord appeared to him, which is Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. In Exodus 19 verse 8, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord has descended on it in fire. So we get the picture in Isaiah 6, 5 and 15. Behold, the Lord will come in fire. So we see that the presence of the Lord is right there with the disciples. The word fire is the presence of the Lord. Even the word fire, sometimes in the Bible, associated with a purification, even sometimes judgment. But however, we understand that in our text, Acts 2, is the presence, the power of God among the disciples. It was like a fire, rested on each one of them. Luke described the glory of God's presence that we eagerly wanted to see even today. The power of the Holy Spirit rested on each one of them, and the Holy Spirit powerfully came to them and to individual and dwelled them, filled their hearts with a fire. The result of the coming of the Holy Spirit, what is this? In verse 4 is the answer. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We should not misunderstand that the proof of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Not that way. This is only happening here. There were 120 people in the room. Not some of them. In our text said, all of them. That's how Holy Spirit is working. All of them. That's the beauty of knowing the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were united in Jesus Christ. They became one in Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. In ESV says, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And NIV says, as the Spirit enabled them. Now the word in the original text can be used as a noun, utterance. It means like utterance. But we understand this one as a verb. If the word is used as a verb, it means that to express and speak out and declare. So in Acts in chapter 1 and 4, we see that this word is also infinitive, kind of verb form. So it could be more appropriate to interpret as follows. They began to speak and boldly speak out and declare other languages. It's not speaking different languages and then translating God's word, not that way. But they are boldly speaking and declaring the gospel that way. They began to speak other languages just as the Spirit gives them to able to declare. Yes, the disciples spoke different languages that didn't know. Here, what Luke describes here is that he wants to emphasize the work of the Spirit to proclaim the work of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit through the disciples. It was not their own abilities to speak different languages. Our text says other tongues from God. And it was the sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. God empowered them. God empowered all the disciples, all the people of 120 people in the room with His Spirit. Therefore, it was not a normal day. Traditionally, it was a special day. And then God made that day more special day for all the Christians. It was the most powerful day. The presence of God came with a power and honor. And then God shook all the house and the people, their hearts, with the sound of the wind. The Holy Spirit came with a power and honor and fear. The Spirit of Jesus Christ empowered them with the Spirit, so that they begin speaking different languages, other tongues, proclaiming the Word of God. Therefore, it was the day that Jesus has fulfilled His promises of sending the Holy Spirit, the power from high, the promise of Father in heaven. So we cannot forget that day. Now, Luke's description of the coming of the Holy Spirit is very brief. Only four verses, but these are short verses, a short illustration, truly makes you and me and our hearts burning because we want that. Our heart is burning for the desire of being part of this greatness. The presence of the Holy Spirit every day, every moment, when we come to church, when we go to home, when we get together with other brothers and sisters, when we pray. The presence of the Holy Spirit like the disciples. The work of the Holy Spirit is every day in our lives and every place is where we go. We want that. Not by our own power and knowledge experiences, but remember that it's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how God is working. God makes you and me. He enables you and me to be part of the kingdom. kingdom's work, and then God gives you and me His words in our hearts. God enables you and me to speak to others, declare the gospel to other people. That is the work of the Holy Spirit that we want. More than anything, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because we want to be changed like the disciples. We want to change the nation. We want to change the world. We want to change our church. We want to change people through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why we want the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what happened to the disciples. Good to know. Wow, that's awesome thing to hear right now. But what happened to other people around the disciples? What about the people who witnesses the coming of the Holy Spirit at the time? We can say it's the spectators. Now, Luke suddenly changes the scene in verses 5 and 6. In verse 6, that at the sound of the multitude came together, and Luke describes them as the devout men. They're fearing God, all the people from every nation under heaven. That's verse 5. This devout man means God's fearing man. They knew God. They worshiped God. They honored God. But one thing they're missing is they didn't know Jesus Christ. They were born in different nations, different places. That means they all speak different languages in coming to Jerusalem. Now here Luke describes that they were staying in Jerusalem. Probably they moved to Jerusalem or they visited Jerusalem for celebrating the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. Now these God-fearing men, people, heard the disciples were speaking their languages. So 120 people speaking different languages, not quietly, but really loud, so people outside they heard. Therefore, they could not believe that the disciples were speaking in their languages. If all one of you come to me today after service, all of a sudden you speak Korean, I'll be surprised. So that happened to people. They were surprised. They couldn't believe their ears and their eyes. So they came to see what exactly happening to the disciples, and a few interesting things in our verses, in their reactions. In verse 6, they were bewildered. That means they were confused. Where did you get that? And in verse 7, they were amazed. They were confused, but they thought, wow, this is great. Astonished. And in verse 12, they were all amazed and perplexed. What they saw was literally unbelievable and impossible. Listen to what they were confused and why and they were confused and amazed. In verse 7, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Yeah, they were mocking the Galileans at that time, saying like this, how these uneducated people, we know about them. They were all uneducated people. And how come they are speaking all different languages that I understand? So the multitude, these devout men, God-fearing men, did not understand the power of the Holy Spirit at that moment. That is interesting. So we should not miss that. Holy Spirit came to the 120 people in a moving house, and they're speaking different languages with the power, wind, the rushing wind. But outside people, they didn't understand. They couldn't get that. They didn't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. It's still happening in the church, in our world. People don't understand. It's beyond our understand, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's beyond their knowledge and experience. It's beyond their understanding. So they couldn't see and understand that. That's why they were amazed, at the same time perplexed and bewildered. Because it is the power of God, the presence of God, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit among the disciples, shaking the world, they were bewildered. The people around the disciples raised a question, just one question in verse 12. What does this mean? Verse Now I'll ask the same question. If all of you came to me and after service speaking Korean language, what does this mean? What does it mean to us? Well, it's really sad that we know the story, we read the story, but sometimes you and I, we to minimize the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we deny the work of the Holy Spirit among us, aren't we? No, like this. Aren't we saying like this? We cannot do this. I cannot. Because we don't have resources. Well, that is true. We don't have resources. But do we have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit made disciples speaking different languages. So, do we believe that the Holy Spirit will make things for our church? Sometimes we say, I cannot do this or that or something else because I'm not qualified. I do not have any abilities to do that. That is true. True statement. But what about the Holy Spirit? What about these 120 people, Galileans, even people outside, look at them. They are Galileans. They are now qualified. They don't have any ability to speak different languages. So what they didn't know about is the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, yes, it is true that it is impossible for the uneducated people, Galileans, to speak different languages. It is impossible for you and me to do great things for the kingdom of God. But what they didn't know, people out there, like spectators, what people out there in the world, even sometimes we don't know, is how God uses these uneducated people to educate the wise. The Paul says, and God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the world, shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Amazing. In the presence of God, no boasting, but only the Holy Spirit. God shows what is weak, you and me, and even our church, to bring the message of Jesus Christ. God chose what is low and despised, you and me, and even our church, to believe the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world. God chose you. That's why Paul says, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 16. Yes, we are weak. I am weak. Well, it seems like our church is weak. So we cannot do things? No. Sometimes we feel we're not important? No. That means we are denying the Holy Spirit. That means we are minimizing His work. Holy Spirit, you can't do this much. This is my part. Not that way. Maybe it is true that we cannot serve the Church of Jesus Christ with our own power. That is true. But the power of God, the Holy Spirit enables you and me. The Spirit of Jesus Christ gives us His power to serve His kingdom and His church. Verses 14 and 21 is Peter's sermon, which is a wonderful sermon. Peter's answer for the spectators, people out there who are confused about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Peter's answer to their question, what does it mean? And I truly, humbly pray that it is answer for you and me today as well. Now, Peter was empowered by the Holy Spirit at that moment. And then he explained the significance of what happened to them at that moment. So Peter made a provocative and the most powerful statement in his sermon today. He just declared, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem," he's speaking to the world, "let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It is bright day, but this is what was ordered through the prophet Joel." We know what Peter was trying to do. He's telling them this is God's fulfillment. In verse 15, "Give ear to my words and listen carefully to my words," saying that this is only 9 a.m. That is what he said. This is the morning, 9 a.m. in the morning. Now, during the festival at the time, Jews fasted during the morning. They didn't eat anything in the morning. That means they didn't drink. So it's impossible for them, drunk. There were no way to be drunk. So how can you speak out there, people, saying to us that we're drunk? No. Then what? Peter boldly proclaimed what God has revealed in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 and 32. Says, God promised in the Bible that's what's happening here. God said, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall be prophecy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I will pour out my spirit even on male and female servants." Yes, the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't only go only for good and qualified people. It's for everyone. God chose His disciples and His people not by their abilities and qualification. The coming of the Holy Spirit is not about our ages and abilities and strength and knowledge and social status, something like that. But it is all about divine power and God's promises from the Bible. And it's so said, it is about God's grace. Many of you already know that I came from Pentecostal background. I was but I became a Christian when I was in 5th and 6th grade. All the way through, attended Pentecostal churches before coming to the United States. That time, we believed that the Holy Spirit is something that I can get. Totally wrong. Holy Spirit, what Peter is trying to say from his speech and from the Old Testament, it is God's grace. If God is giving to us, it's a gift. By His grace, by His mercy, God pours out His Spirit upon His people. By His promises from the Old Testament, God pour out His Spirit upon a people. That's what Peter said. Now Peter concludes his words in verse 21. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In other words, Jesus is the Lord. He is the one who will send to His people the Holy Spirit to save us, to renew us, to restore us. So Pentecost is not a normal day. It was a special day. And it is a special day. It will be a special day because we all be filled with the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, what does it mean to you? Do you think that this is only Pentecostal or other churches are talking about? No. This is what we believe. We form people. We are talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. We know that John Calvin talks about Holy Spirit more than any other people because he knows that. This is God's gift. The coming of the Holy Spirit, what does it mean to our church? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Our faith, according to John Calvin, our faith proceeds only from the secret revelation of the Spirit. It is only through God's mercy that we cannot be united to the Lord of Jesus Christ through the hidden power of the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit. like Paul and Calvin, recognize the governing authority of the Holy Spirit in our life. John Calvin also says, and Christ, when He illuminates us into faith by the power of His Spirit, at the same time so engrafts us into the body that we became partakers of every good. So we need the Holy Spirit. What about Martin Luther? We hear him saying a lot of times, he says, neither you nor I could ever know anything of Christ. That is an amazing statement. Or believe on Him, or obtain Him for our Lord, unless it were offered to us by and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. What we can do is, like the disciples, gather together one place. Shouldn't be our church. Not saying the everyday coming. Your house with brothers, sisters, one place. The Sunday is the best day. And our prayer meeting is the best day. Come together and ask God His blessing. Brothers and sisters, are we today filled with the Holy Spirit? It's hard to say yes, I know, or yes, I don't know. But let me read you what the disciple says. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. All these were one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. And in Acts 2:1, they were all together in one place. The history of the Christian church is the history of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we should have that experience as well. Don't go anywhere. Come, gather together, one place, and pray together. We may have many different plans and many attractive ministries in our church for our evangelism. However, what we need is to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. We humbly pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in our church. We humbly pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit during our vacation Bible school. We humbly pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Every moment, every corner of our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We hear this story many, many times. But all the stories is going into one ear and out of one another ear. But Lord, we don't want to lose the sight of this one, because we know that we became Your children through the work of the Holy Spirit. Because we know that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. So help us to see that, so that we, as brothers and sisters, gather together in one place and pray, so that people out there and our neighbors will see, what does it mean? Then we can talk to them about Jesus Christ. So Lord, bless us and fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit, so that we could talk, we could preach Christ. We pray Your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.